Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP Chicago.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Another one of those awesome days in sports. We were just telling you about tonight's Celtics Heat game. We've got the Sox playing right now. They trail the Twins 3-2 in the top of the sixth inning.
All five runs are home runs. Buxton homered in the second. Abreu homered in the fourth. Buxton homered again in the fifth. Encarnacion homered in the fifth. Donaldson in the sixth. Five solo shots and the ding-dong building down south.
Buxton kills.
Dong-dong-dong.
Buxton kills the White Sox. We have the U.S. Open going on, too. So we've got golf. We'll get you an update there coming up. Of course, we're looking to Thursday night football tonight. We talked about with Cincinnati and Cleveland. Our Bears are getting ready for their Giants, the Giants game, and the Cubs play tonight as well against Cleveland.
Have you seen the standings in the Central?
Yes, and I've told you that this is going to happen. The Reds are going to sneak in, and they're going to have top-flight starting pitching, and they're going to upset somebody in the three-game series.
By the way,
Mark it down.
I think Sonny Gray's on the injured list, isn't he? I think Sonny Gray had to go sit down for a while.
He's had some bad outings, couple bad outings in a row, and now it's an injury.
My team sucked for a long time, but if both the Cubs and the Reds are in the postseason, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
We'll see what happens, and the White Sox, of course, are going to get there. Let's play you some John Lester from last night. I was getting a text saying, boy, emotional John Lester. And I'm like, why? Why is John Lester? I was off the postgame show. I was not watching the postgame show.
Shame on you.
And I was saying, why? Why is John Lester getting emotional? Then people were informing me because it could be John Lester's final home start in a Cubs uniform. Listen to John Lester from yesterday.
You know, probably the last, I don't know. Should say probably, but hopefully not the last regular season start. Put on the pinstripes tonight. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, a lot of things on my mind. This year hasn't been easy for a lot of reasons. And I'm not sitting here saying woe's me because there's a lot of people worse off than me. But, a lot of emotions coming in to this and don't really know what to say, how to take it. A lot of uncertainties going forward.
John, with that in mind, are you a little frustrated that you're not able to kind of say goodbye to the fans?
I think that's probably the most frustrating part for me. You know, going back to 14, and I didn't really get to walk off the field like I wanted to at Fenway. And, you know, obviously tonight didn't quite go the way I wanted to. Have an empty stadium, not really how I envisioned, you know, possibly my last start here. So, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say, woe's me, you know, but I didn't think 6 years would go this fast.
There you go. There's John Lester.
He's been a true pro, man.
I always looked at him as big game John Lester. That's how I always looked at him. Jesse Rogers joins us right now on the Corona Hotline on ESPN 1000. What'd you make of all that, Jesse?
Not surprised, to be honest, not that surprised. I've actually been kind of tracking his storyline for the last couple weeks and the turnaround he had on the mound, and I do want to get to that, but also what's going on off the field with him. And, I mean, he wants to come back. You may have seen his tweet today, right? He wants to win 200 in a Cub uniform. I don't think anybody was thinking about win number 200 until he tweeted it today, but I've been told by people close to him, that's important for him. We know he's old school, 200 innings, and here 200 wins. That's important. Now, look, he lives 5 minutes from the Atlanta Braves Stadium. He could easily sign with the Braves next year, win 200, be on a contender, take the role that Cole Hamels has now, but Hamels is always hurt. So they spend that money on a guy like Lester. I would bet some money myself. He's not a Cub. He's a Brave. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to come back. The question is, will the Cubs pay him a little bit to bring him back? And remember, we're not talking about a number one, two, or three starter here. We're talking four or five. But there's an opening there. And so that's why he was emotional, because he doesn't know. I think he wanted to know before this season began if he was going to be here after this year. And he understands he's not going to get the $25 million option, but there's something in between that and the $10 million buyout that I think he'd be happy with. And that was all bottled up inside as well. He didn't talk about the contract, but I know that's part of it as well.
Jess, the last two outings have been like against Milwaukee was very good. And last night against Cleveland was, it wasn't great. It was good enough. His stuff. We all love John. His stuff is noticeably different, isn't it?
Of course. And that's why he has to be that much more fine with it, right? He can't rely, if everything else isn't working, he can't rely on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. So everything else has to be working. And Tommy, I know you'll love this story if you'll give me a minute on it. Remember when I sort of predicted he'd have a good start? Well, I had a little inside information. The only information I had was that after his September 6th start, before his next one, 5 days later, he had found what the problem was. That's what I had heard. Now he has to go fix it and execute 5 days later. And he was able to do it. And it's just a great story, because in baseball, like golf, you can lose it and find it and lose it and find it. Can't do that. That doesn't happen to LeBron James, right, for the most part. And other sports, hockey players. But for pitchers, you can. And He found three things that he fixed in 5 days, and he took photographic and video evidence to the Cubs' pitching infrastructure, and they figured it out together. One of them quickly was release point. He was going from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. He had to go to 11 to 5. You know what I'm talking about? He moved the arm up a little bit. He wasn't turning his body to face the hitter straight on as he released it. His turn was sort of late. It's all little stuff. And then there was the last thing about his glove being too far from his body. It's all little stuff to us, but in the world of pitching, it was big adjustments. And actually, guys, he went back to 2016 in the World Series and took the video and the photographs from his release points and compared it to now, and he found the changes that needed to be happened, and he went out and did it. It's an amazing story to do it in 5 days. It wasn't like he needed 3 weeks. He just needed to find the problem, and he fixed it. And the hope is it's fixed. He'll lose it a couple times, but, you know, he knows where to get back to find it. And then he's hopeful that that'll continue even into next year.
Jesse, what did you think of the Chris Bryant debate that you got in on yesterday on Twitter? You know that was hot. I know that he's struggling this year. It still hasn't been a huge sample side. But as Waddle likes to say, the trend hasn't been his friend these last couple of years. And I know the numbers on 19 look good, but like Waddle said, compare 16 where he ranked in WAR to being the 60th highest WAR guy in 19.
Yeah,
this is all about perspective, expectations, salary. If you just look at production, you're like, oh, that's a fine player, I love him on my team. Forget about this year, because if you don't forget about this year, then you can't forget about Rizzo, you can't forget about Baez, you can't forget, I mean, all these guys are struggling. So I'll say it, let's forget about this year for the moment. This is about 16 and even 17 and not being able to get back to those levels. Even last year was relatively healthy. The numbers were good, but they're not. Hey, Bryce Harper had an 1100 OPS at 22 years old. He's never had that, though he was trending in that direction. It just kind of leveled off. So, again, it's about perspective and what you'd offer him and what he'd sign for. He's still a very good player, and I'm pretty sure he'll get back to 900-type OPS. It's just you can't pay him that $300 million, you know, contract that the superstars would want. And so that's the disconnect here. It's all about, to me, perspective when it comes to to him. Now, I know a caller brought up clutch hitting, right? Now, we got to look at career numbers, because that really tells, you know, the big picture. Rizzo, for his career, runners in scoring position, 277. You expect that kind of a nice high number for him. Bryant, 264, medium. Baez, 258. 258 with runners in scoring position for his career, yet he's probably the guy that's going to get the big contract. So we have to remember, you know, bigger sample sizes, perspective, and all that jazz. But I don't disagree that trend line towards superstar status has leveled
Jess,
off.
What does the rest of Major League Baseball think of Chris?
I think they think what we kind of think. Hey, that's a very good player. I'd like to have him on my team.
Do you think now he's more valued away from Chicago, or do you think that the Cub fans and the Cub organization value him more than other organizations would?
I think he's probably valued more outside. You know how that works. I think he's valued. Jake Arrieta was probably valued more outside the organization as well as he did. I'm talking about contractual stuff. I mean, the Cubs love Jake Arrieta, but I'm talking about contracts. I think he's probably viewed, you know, your players, the good and the bad, better than anyone else. So from the outside, they see a pretty good third baseman and really good numbers. But I think we know the ship has sailed with the Cubs and Chris Bryant. The marriage is coming to an end. I agree with you, Sylvie. I think you said this, like, I would keep him next year unless you're wowed in the offseason. You can always trade him in July if his value returns, or he might help you on another playoff appearance. And then, fine, he walks, and it's just one of those things. You go back, oh, I wish I would have traded Schwarber at his peak. You know, he can always do that in hindsight. But you're not going to get a ton for him this offseason with a $20-plus million arbitration tag and the way the finances of baseball are. So I would keep him. Let's see if he can recoup, you know, his value and either get traded in July or help you win a pennant.
How do you think they view Javi now? Because, I mean, Javi's been better in the last several games, but overall, Javi's struggled just as badly as Chris this year.
I don't think they view Javi that different than they did before the pandemic. I just don't. It's like everyone's been talking about a lot of stars are hitting poorly. The video replay stuff is an issue in-game. By the way, you know what they're going to do next year with video in-game replay with hitters? They're going to blur out the signs. Players will be able to get on an iPad and watch their at-bats, but the catcher, or at least his signs, will be blurred out. I'm not sure all the technology to do that, you know, in the moment, but Javi will get his video replay back next year. I don't think they've changed. I really don't. Now, maybe the numbers get adjusted, you know, this offseason when he signs, and I do think he will. But look, his arm is alone just such a weapon at shortstop. I mean, that position is locked down for the Cubs for years to come. So add that to it. I don't think they've changed much on Javi.
We were talking before the show today, Jesse, about the playoff bubble. Tell everybody in our audience how this is going to work when you play home games, when you go to the bubble.
Yeah, and I want to give you an idea as we talk about that. So the first round will be played Chicago at Wrigley, and of course the Sox are going to get a top seed as well. So they're both going to be played. It's a best of three, and the home team gets to be the home team in all three games if you play three. After that round, you go down to your bubble. It looks like the Cubs would be in Arlington. The Sox would be in San Diego, I think. I didn't look closely. And it's best of five in the second round, then best of seven, and then the World Series will be played in Arlington. So the bubble is going to be interesting. Ian Happ talked about it. I mean, the protocols will be even stricter. You can bring some family down there if you quarantine the family with you heading into the playoffs. And then you're in your room. You go out for a walk, you need to ask permission, according to what Happ said yesterday.
Come on.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, you know, things have worked out pretty good here, you know, lately. No outbreaks, but they're just worried. If they do have one team has an outbreak, it really screws up the playoffs. So that's how it's going to go down. But let me ask you a question. If we go back to John Lester for a moment, if you don't mind. Here's an idea for a strategy, and this would mean it's not his last game at Wrigley Field. Yu Darvish opens the playoffs, right? Let's assume you win. This is only if the Sox or Cubs win. Giolito wins game one, Darvish wins for the Cubs. Would you consider starting your number three pitcher in game two for two reasons? If he wins, now you've got your number two starter, Dallas Keuchel and Kyle Hendricks, to open up the next round. If he loses, you're not going to your third starter in a must-win or go-home situation. I mean, Dallas Keuchel in game three over Dunning, right? And Kyle Hendricks over John Lester in game three. Now, obviously, you're taking your chances in game two, but I think they're – I don't know. Talk me out of that strategy.
I pitch my best guys 1-2.
Yeah, okay. And you hope you get out of there after two. It's interesting, Jesse.
I mean, think long, think wrong.
I understand. I agree with that when it comes to betting, that's for sure. But I especially for the White Sox, Dallas Keuchel in a game three, give me him. Give me him. Dame Dunning, nothing. It's all about experience. Guy's great. Nothing. Or Dylan Cease. And even John Lester, who I love in October, I'm not sure you want to risk it in a game three, because anybody can win a game when it comes to game two. You know, obviously there's pros and cons. We could talk in circles about it, but I think it's something you got to think about.
Really quick, too, we were talking about this on the show yesterday. It's looking more and more like that last three-game series may not mean anything. Hopefully both teams have the division locked up. We'll see. Today's game has huge meaning for the Sox in that regard. But do you believe that maybe that those last three games, we just see guys from the taxi squad come up and pitch?
Absolutely. I mean, you might get the game one starter gets a couple innings. I mean, you figure it all out in terms of who needs a little work, but that's all it'll be, getting some work. You absolutely see those guys get the bulk of the innings in those three games after the main guys get their work, for sure.
All right, Jesse, anything else?
I don't think so. Just keep an eye on Lester in this offseason. Look, the salary has to start at $10 million. That's the buyout. Like, you can't say, well, I'll sign for $5 million. No, it's got to start at $10 million. If you sign him right now for 1 year at $15 million, you have John Lester. And let me tell you, in baseball, there's a saying, there are no bad one-year deals. So last point, if he doesn't re-sign with the Cubs for 1 year at $15 million, then they have serious, serious money troubles. That's the conclusion you could reach if he's not back at it in an okay rate.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative, but money troubles as far as the owner is concerned.
Right.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. CeCe Sabathia did it with the Yankees. Huge deal, then signs 2 one-year deals back-to-back as kind of a reward for being as good as he was. I mean, that's what John Lester deserves, to be the number 4, 1 year, $15 million. In fact, I'll tell you exactly what this Cubs should do. Sign Bauer, re-sign Lester, let some other guys go, and you can compete next year right there. Oh, Mills is your 5, not making anything.
Good stuff, Jesse.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys, take care.
All right, the more fans in the stands for football. I want to bring that up as we talk about the NFL and the Bears next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
You know, the biggest surprise for me watching Thursday Night Football when the season opened, Kansas City hosting that game.
Seeing people in the stands.
Yeah, it was very surprising to me, and it was surprising how loud it was. They didn't use fake noise for that, right? Didn't Al Michaels reiterate?
You are correct. I've always told you that between Buffalo and Kansas City, those are the two loudest open-air stadiums I ever was in.
Did you see that one of the fans tested positive for coronavirus and they had to do contact tracing to then tell the fans sitting around him that they should probably go get tested?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, that's kind of... like, that's a built-in risk and, scenario that you have to believe is going to happen.
Of course.
Look, anytime you go outside these days, you could take proper protocols.
Right.
But it doesn't guarantee that you're going to not catch it. So this week, I don't know if you read this. Did you see how many people they're putting in Dallas?
Well, Jerry's probably got 400,000 in there, right?
It's 25%, but that's 25,000, isn't it? Doesn't
close.
That place seat almost 100?
I would think so. Like, it's the most incredible building I've ever been in. It's unbelievable.
The Rams place looks really nice.
Yeah,
too.
Rams, that
Chargers.
Was $5 billion.
I know. That looks beautiful. One day,
and then we've at Soldier Field.
What, did you see what they did too with the SoFi Stadium, where they built it? Al Michaels told the story on.
Well,
Sunday
they built
Night
it
Football.
On the same place where Hollywood Park was, right?
Which was what?
Was a racetrack.
What's up for sale right now?
Arlington.
What's been the rumor
that the Bears are going to move to Arlington? I love these guessing games.
Build a stadium like that.
Yeah.
Like, if we could get a stadium like that on an old racetrack. Well, like, that's why I would want it to be done.
That's
I think it's cool that they play on the lakefront and in Chicago, but if there's nowhere in the city to build an awesome stadium, do it there.
Isn't it right next to the Forum? Isn't that where the Forum was, set next to a Hollywood racetrack?
I believe you're right, yes. Yes, where the Great Western Forum
was. And then Ballmer bought that, didn't he, to knock it down and build his own place.
They're going to build, Wilbon mentioned that too yesterday, that the Clippers are getting, they're moving out of LA Live and they're getting their own basketball arena in that area. It's pretty cool.
It is for them.
And then later in the show, I want to have the conversation. We're going to talk to a fan who's got a 39-year streak that will be, I mean, technically the streak won't be broken, but he hasn't missed a home Bears game in 39 years.
Woo!
And obviously, like, I want to talk to fans today later in the show about, you know, 62,500 are going, usually would go. Nobody's going now. Like, how are you going to try to replicate it, if at all, of tailgating?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
But yeah, so the Cowboys game, Waddle, they are allowing 25%.
Wow.
I know Kansas City's loud. You said it's always been one of the louder stadiums, but I think they only had 10,000 people, and it still sounded very, very loud.
Yes, it's always been a very loud outdoor stadium. Rich Stadium, Buffalo, where the Bills were playing, and maybe New Era now. I don't know what it is. Very loud as well. But I wasn't aware that the Cowboys were going to have 25% of the
20.
Yeah,
and then I read an article yesterday that most of the players are actually not letting their families go.
Really?
That because they don't want to fly them in and risk being exposed, considering that they don't know if they've been quarantined. Like Ezekiel Elliott told the story that he usually has his mom in her own suite. He buys her own suite for every home game. And he's not doing that because he doesn't. He built her like a new basement where she can watch the game and everything like that. He doesn't want to take the chance. And there are a lot of Cowboy players, even though they're letting fans in, that they don't want their families to fly in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like they're being very responsible.
Is there any possibility that there would be people potentially at Soldier Field towards the end of the year? Is there any chance that the rules will change here? Has there been a statement that no go for 2020?
I think it's up to the mayor and it's up to the governor, isn't it?
Yeah, there's been no official word as like they're saying, you know, they're for the entire season. I think they're just kind of going with the science.
Don't we have the soundbite in the system where George said a week ago, I believe it was a week ago today that he talked. And I think he said that there still is hope, that they are hoping as a team to at some point this year have fans in the stands.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he said they were going to leave it up to the government, though, basically,
because they
have the final.
The mayor has to approve it.
Yeah, and the same would go for, you know, the Big Ten said that they're not going to have fans in any stadium, so even if the governor and the mayor did allow it, you know, Northwestern couldn't, and, you know, Illinois couldn't because the Big
Ten.
That's a conference decision. Yeah, but different teams are adding fans every week. Like the Colts announced for game 3, they're going to have fans next week. Yeah, when I think they have the Jets.
That's why I said months ago, I said to you, I would not rule out, you know, don't think that they're not going to be able to capture some of their fan revenue, whether it's, I don't know how they're going to do concessions and all of that other stuff, but like Miami had people are going to have, they were in New England for their first game of the season, but Miami's letting people in, right?
Right. And they're doing it. Remember I told you, for all their concessions, it's all cashless. Like you have to either download their app where you pay online and your food gets ordered that way.
Right.
But there's like, they're trying to limit as much exposure as possible.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And by will, I mean a chance to make cash.
Where the money is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I saw floating around on Twitter, Waddle, and you brought up the point that people are like shaming the Big Ten again for playing when a lot of these Big Ten schools have opened for their normal students to pay regular tuition.
Yeah, that to me is like, I'm not having any of that. That you're treating the athletic departments like the bad guy in this whole thing, where the universities have already been doing, you know, that dirty work, so to speak. If you let the kids back on campus and in their dorms and in any way, shape, or form, you're cashing their tuition checks and their room and board checks. Don't come to me for, well, how in the world could you let the fall sports people out there and do something?
They're saying, oh, it's a shame that money changed their decision. But here's the question. Would these Big Ten schools, all these Michigan, Wisconsin, all these schools that have kids on campus, if they were going for free, would they be allowing kids on campus? during the pandemic?
No.
The answer is no.
Right. It's all driven by money.
Right. Do you know how many thousand? You know, of course. I'm talking to the guy who had four daughters go through three go through college already. Like, how much college tuition is? They're all at the reason why these kids
are all back on campus now. Yes.
In most of these areas is because they're paying several thousand dollars in tuition.
So don't let the athletic departments be the boogeyman. Yes. Don't let people tell you that they are the bad people in all of this. This is all about the greed of the athletic department. Now, university's got a step forward or has a head start on the athletic department in terms of getting people's money out of their pockets.
All right, so later in the show, I want to talk to Bears fans. If you are a Bears season ticket holder, and there's a lot of you, what are you going to do to replace the experience? Are you going to treat it like a road game? And then if they do open later in the season, would you want to go or are you just going to pass? That's for later in the show. And Waddle's World is coming up next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. What do you say? Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. First round of the U.S. Open is still underway. It is underway. Some have finished. Many have not. At the top of your leaderboard, Justin Thomas shot a 5-under par 65 today. Patrick Reed is at 4-under par.
At a hole in one.
He shot 66. He had a hole-in-one, as Adam Abdallah just told you. Rory McIlroy, Rory Sabatini, Sean Norris, Thomas Peters, and Bryson DeChambeau are all at 3-under par.
And on And still on the
course. Yes, they're
Bryson
all
Bryson DeChambeau still is only through 11.
That is correct. I know what you're going to ask me.
Tiger.
I'm scrolling, and I see Tiger Woods shot a 3-under over par 73 with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth also shot 73, as did Justin Rose, so he's got company with some other good golfers. So does this mean you're not going to watch golf?
No, I'll watch a little bit, and if it's always a good story on Sunday, I'm in no matter who it is.
Okay. Oh, like they play the final round on Sunday?
Well, I'm saying that if it's close, I'm not in on the time they tee off on Sunday.
So there's
football.
Yeah, there's football. I mean, come on.
Football.
You can put it on TV.
If you tell me it's Justin Thomas.
Excuse me, Mr. Tom Waddle, 7 TVs, 87 in your playbook, 87 TVs in his house.
I only have 3.
If you tell me
it's
Thomas and Morikawa and Koepka, and they're all separated by one shot with 4 holes to play.
You're not watching.
No, I would watch.
Oh, you are watching.
Yes.
At that point.
Of course,
okay.
Yeah. I like good stories.
Okay, you like a good story. Well, good story, not the case for Tiger after round one. 3 over par.
By the way, I got I thought the best comp I got about Chris Bryant was Justin Spieth.
Jordan Spieth. Yeah, that's a good one. Jordan Spieth was dominant for his
superstar first
3 or 4 years on tour, and then kind of faded.
Right.
Doesn't hit the ball a long way. Putter left him a little.
I think, like, for see Red Fred to call in and say Ben Gordon, like, that's not even in the ballpark. I think the Jordan Spieth comparison's a good one.
That is a good one. By the way, the Twins are leading the White Sox 3-2 in the bottom of the 7th. All 5 runs.
Dingers.
Everyone's hitting dingers. Solo dingers, 5 of them. 5 solo dingers.
Did you see Luis Robert drop that fly ball?
I did.
They threw the guy out at the plate.
Yes. It looked like maybe the sun or the ball going from the sun to the shade may have caused him some trouble.
I did a double take because I'm like, was that Aloy?
Yeah.
I'm like, because you're so used to Robert being so good in the field.
That is correct, sir. The Mac is set to meet Saturday about a possible fall football season.
Maction.
Don't leave us out!
Maction.
Wait, you're going to play?
Pac-12 wants back in now, too.
Of course they do.
But I don't think they'll have enough time to be considered. That, well,
what do you mean?
Okay, so they're discussing a six-week ramp-up. So that puts you around Halloween.
Maybe they'll shave a week or two off of that, shaving a haircut.
And honestly, and this is not just me being a college football snob, I don't think they have a team that's good enough to make the college football playoff.
That's fine for you, but for all of the alums from the different universities, they want to see their teams and
the money.
The money is necessary.
That's why I'm saying play, and if you get it in 6 weeks, whatever, just play. Just play. You're not good enough to make the playoff anyway, so just play.
By the way, Charlotte has canceled their game against UNC over virus-related player shortages.
That's what I was talking to you guys about yesterday. They're missing
their available offensive linemen. Charlotte has been forced to cancel its game against UNC.
So, it invaded, the whole position.
Says over the last 2 weeks, the school says three players have tested positive for COVID-19, but contact tracing placed several offensive linemen into quarantine. So they're doing the responsible thing. Virus testing all negative for the Texans and the Chiefs players after week one.
Awesome.
All of it came back. One groundskeeper considered a tier three person tested positive, but was nowhere near the players, according to Shefty.
Where, in Kansas City?
Correct. Yes. Okay. The Titans are joining the crew that's allowing people into their stadiums. They're going to start allowing limited home attendance on October 4th. They won't have fans for their home opener Sunday against the Jags, but they're going to allow 10% capacity at Nissan Stadium for their next home game on October 4th against the Steelers. Those percentages will increase over Tennessee's following three home games, capping at 21% attendance by the end of the season, which is the maximum capacity allowed under CDC guidelines.
I think part of the question, Sylvie, that you need to ask when we talk about, what you're doing for Bears games is if the Bears are playing in a stadium that allows fans... Would you still, because how fans
always
play.
Well, you could road trip to Nashville.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because the Bears play there.
Yeah, would you consider still, because that's always
a good. Drink that town dry.
It's always a good trip, and people, usually, sometimes Bears fans will plan a trip once a year around a certain game.
Let's go to Broadway!
Would you still do it? So I'm wondering.
It's a great question.
I told you before, I may not be comfortable in a stadium of 61,000, but if there was 10,000 people, I would find a way.
You would go.
Yes. If I was a game attender. I'm not a game attender, just in normal times.
We could talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that after Waddle's World.
Bill Belichick praises underrated Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson as he prepares his Patriots to face Russ and the Seahawks. Belichick says he thinks the star quarterback is underrated by the media and or by the fans. I don't really see anybody better than this player.
who would you grab if Mahomes is off the board? You could have any quarterback to be the Bears quarterback
right
after
now.
Mahomes. Would you take
Russ.
Russ or Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers or, I'm just talking about a year. I'm not talking about a 15-year future when you look at the young. Well, this
I
year,
probably
right now,
would go with Russ. Lamar Jackson's not a bad choice. Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure, would get some votes. I'm probably going with Russ.
I think Russell Wilson can do 90% of what Lamar Jackson can do, but Lamar Jackson can't do 90% of what Russell Wilson can.
Interesting.
It's a good statement.
Belichick also famous for giving the truthers ammo for praising Trubisky as a great quarterback as well. So let's,
arrow was still pointing up.
I love Belichick, but who's underrating Russell Wilson? I don't think anybody's underrating Russell Wilson.
At this point, I don't think anybody's underrating Russell Wilson.
The reason why they say he's underrated is because he's never got the MVP. No one's ever voted for him for MVP.
Has he never gotten a single vote?
I don't believe he's ever gotten a vote. I think I've heard that being thrown around countless times.
Who's your money on tonight? You've got the Bengals at the Browns.
I'm taking Carmen's advice and staying away from it. But Carmen said if forced to play, that you cannot bet on the Browns with a point. That's too many points for
six
a team that looks terrible.
Yeah. 6.5 in places.
Ooh, shop it.
And I would say if you can get a first half under at 22 or 21.5.
Okay.
Wink.
Maybe I'll play that. Half under. It's worked for you, Abdallah.
Primetime
first half
unders.
And I missed out on that
unders,
train in prior years.
Primetime first half unders. I think it's a pretty good Bengals defense, too.
Yes, you're right. You are correct about that.
Yeah.
And I like Joe Burrow.
I did too.
Joe Burrow looked, you know, like he wasn't perfect, but I thought for a first ever game without playing in any preseason.
Listen, when you watch him, he looks like he belongs. That's the best compliment I can give him as a rookie quarterback.
He's the best quarterback in that game, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Yeah. I'm not the Baker Mayfield bandwagon for me left, and I'm not on it. So, really, what else do I have for you? Not much. You know, I got some nonsense for you. When we come back, I've got the what I like to call the nuttiest story of the day. This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You know what time it is? It's time for the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball
is bound to get a little nutty.
That's your sweet backside, it is. Here's your headline. Man finds possible brain wrapped in foil on Lake Michigan beach.
I saw this. Yes, I'm glad you brought this up.
Oh, yeah, that's what we do here on Waddle and Sylvie at the I'm a High Waddle's World Nuttiest Story of the Daytime.
I couldn't believe when I saw the picture of this.
Police in Wisconsin were left befuddled after an apparent brain was found on a Lake Michigan beach. According to the Fox affiliate in Milwaukee, the brain was found by construction worker Jimmy Senda, who was walking along the shore at Samuel Myers Park in Racine Tuesday. I don't really know how to explain it. It didn't register. I was just like, hey, what's this? I came across this square package wrapped in aluminum foil, and around it, it had a pink rubber band. Curiosity got to me, so I popped it open. It looked like a chicken breast, kind of. Took a little bit for me to really register what it was. It was a brain. People are working with the Racine County Medical Examiner's Office to determine if the brain is human or not. Why is the brain in foil washing up on a beach?
You got to keep it cold, right? In order to, you got to keep the brain cold in order to, I don't know, I'm trying to
dissect it? Are you saying this is a brain that escaped from a lab?
A brain transplant? Are we doing those yet?
Well, it could be, like Waddle said, could it have been used for science?
Someone freezing their brain and trying to reanimate themselves in the future to...
Was it Ted Williams?
Yeah, maybe.
He's in Arizona.
Was this like Demolition Man where...
I don't remember that movie.
It's Sylvester Stallone.
Wesley Snipes?
Wesley Snipes, Rob Schneider, Sandra Bullock.
Rob Schneider was in?
Yeah, Rob Schneider, Sandra Bullock, where it's a crazy plot to try to explain to someone today. But basically, Wesley Snipes is a super villain, and his punishment is to be frozen. And so then they freeze Sylvester Stallone because he's a cop, but he also, you know, he's not like a dirty cop, but he like committed some crazy stuff while he was trying to get Wesley Snipes. And then Wesley Snipes escapes. So guess what? The last person to catch him, you got to unfreeze him to try to get Wesley Snipes. So they unfreeze Sylvester Stallone, but it's so far in the future, he doesn't know what's going on. We're wiping with seashells now. What's going on?
We're wiping with seashells.
Yeah, that's what they do. The seashell system. I know way too much about Demolition Man.
Obviously.
Why is that? Like, you dislike a lot of movies. Why has that become one of your favorites?
It's not one of my favorites, but when you're young and you watch, like, there's that one, and then Judge Dredd was one that I watched a lot when I was younger. Like, you
was
just
that Arnold?
No, that was Sylvester Stallone and Rob Schneider also.
Come on.
They made two movies together, and it was weird. Yeah!
You cheering for the White Sox?
Yeah, yes. Somebody's got some cash on the line, cash money.
I told
these guys when they brought that pus-armed reliever Romo in that it was disaster for the Twins.
Not only does Sox Dalla have them on the money line, but that was Eloy Jimenez, who is on my fantasy team, as I'm quickly catching up to Tom Waddle. I'm coming for that money.
Are you? Yeah, well, if I'm not mistaken, just hit,
give everyone an update instead of just the Aloy just
Aloy with a road down the left field line.
4-3 White Sox as they've come and they've rallied from a 3-2 deficit
bottom
to go up 4-3 here in the bottom of the.
You know what's great about them? They expect to win every time they take the field. It's unbelievable. A police arrest a man after he jumps his car over a drawbridge in Detroit. Police say they arrested a man Wednesday night after he jumped his vehicle across a drawbridge that was rising. I always wondered if I could do the same and actually get away with it. Operator hit the emergency brake on the bridge as it was rising because he realized the driver of the vehicle was not stopping. The driver, 26-year-old area man, driving a Dodge sedan, 7 o'clock trying to make the jump. Shortly after crashing the vehicle, the driver was arrested.
When the cops arrested them, did they yell, "Those damn Duke brothers!"
It's very... Waddle, you've wanted to do this before?
I've thought about it. Like, that's one of those things. Like, I've told
hasn't?
You.
Who hasn't? Yeah, that's so tempting. Yeah.
Hey, what if I jump this drawbridge? Yeah, like Duke's a hazard.
Perfectly,
I could do this.
Oh boy, that would screw
you've
up
never
your
thought
car
about
bad.
Yeah, I sort mean, of like right outside so Edison Park Tavern or whatever it is with all those giant bumps in the road.
Your whole thing is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yeah.
What's the risk reward thing?
That's not very high.
You know what I'm saying? I just jumped the bridge.
I just think it would be really cool to say I jumped a drawbridge. No.
It would also not be cool to be in the river.
That's a fair statement. I mean, like, I'm not gonna fight with you about that.
I mean, it would be cool, yes, if you were guaranteed to nothing would go wrong. That right. would be fun.
Yes,
it's like one of those impulse things. Like I've always wanted to like try to zoom through the crosswalk at a railroad, just like zip by, like in the movies. It's an impulse thing that I won't
but
do.
This ain't the movies. That's the thing.
A UFO seen over New Jersey was really the Goodyear blimp.
Oh, I like the blimp.
An unidentified flying object in the skies of New Jersey Monday had residents believing aliens were about to beam them down to the Garden State till they actually realized, oh, man, dude, that's the blimp.
Was it from the Monday Night Football game, probably? On Monday? Was it Monday, did you say?
Naysayers quick to debunk the extraterrestrial sighting, noting that it was nothing more than the Goodyear blimp flying overhead nearby MetLife Stadium.
Yes.
You've been in the blimp, haven't you?
Yeah, it was called a Zephyr in the one that I've been in, but it's very similar to a blimp. There's a difference, a technicality,
yeah.
The difference between a blimp and a Zephyr, but it was really cool.
All right, that's all I got. I wish I had more, but I don't.
All right, there you go. It's Waddle's World. And we have Keyshawn Johnson coming up. If anyone knows about wide receivers wanting the ball and to get paid, it's Keyshawn.
Definitely not me.
So we asked a wide receiver who knows a little something about what it's like to be in Allen Robinson's shoes. What would he do to proceed? And does he rate Allen Robinson as one of the top guys in the NFL? That's coming up in 2 minutes.